The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you, falsely, because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, today is one of the great solemnities of the Church, All Saints' Day. It always falls during this very secular time in the world, especially in our country, Halloween. So everyone kind of forgets the saints. And it's fun to dress up in all kinds of things. But one of my favorite days of the year, when I was pastor at a parish with a school, was all about this time, because the school, we would celebrate All Saints Day, and the kids would dress up as their favorite saint. And it was a beautiful time to just see faith come together, and also the witness and inspiration of the saints of the Church. So take a moment to recall who you chose as your confirmation saint, if you can remember. Or just take a moment to think, who is your favorite saint? And if you can't remember or think of anything or any particular saint right now, you have a task this week to come up with your favorite saint, to remember who you were confirmed with, that name, and to think about how they inspire you. How does this saint, particular saint, witness to you of the love of God, the power of faith, the reason that we love, how much we should trust in Jesus? Saints are witnesses to us of the eternal love of God. They inspire us in numerous ways, but most of all, they inspire us to seek holiness for ourselves and others. We should all desire to be saints. It should be the daily motto of a Catholic: I'm heading toward sainthood. And if you think you're not called to be a saint, or think, oh, not me, think again. It's the reason you exist. It's the reason God created you, to be a saint. We should desire it. It begins, of course, with the desire that we have just to be happy. So I want to think about happiness for a little bit with you. The great ancient philosopher Aristotle actually talked a lot about happiness. He didn't know who Christ was. There wasn't Christianity when he lived. But he had this inherent understanding from his thinking through of who we are as human beings, that every person desires happiness. And so we thought a lot about how happiness works. What makes us happy, truly happy? And so, like a good philosopher who wants to explain things to us, he came up with four levels of happiness. Let's see if this relates to you. The first level, he called it laetus, or what we might also call material happiness. So, for example, I have a car, I have a smartphone, I have lots of clothes, and I've got good shoes, and these things I have, they're good, and they make me happy. At least for now. At least until I get something new, or that smartphone is obsolete, or my shoes wear out and the soles start falling off. And now I have to get something new, so that next thing is going to make me happy. Material happiness. This is good, but it doesn't last long. Most of the material things that make me happy in 100 years or whatever, they'll be in an antique store maybe, that someone like the newest teenager thinks is cool and retro. Or it'll be in a landfill, right? So it's for a time. It's not forever. The second level, then, Aristotle says, he calls it phalanx, or comparative happiness. Now, this is something that we know a little bit about in the United States. For example, we think, like, I have something that's better than you. I do this better than them. Compared to this person or this group or this organization or this coworker or this friend or this family member, this other team, I'm better than that thing, that person, that organization, and so I'm happy. Competition is the normal driving force of this kind of happiness. If I can be better than the other, it makes me happy. If I can win. And so that can make us happy for a little bit. Like when I was playing football and we won a game, I was happy. The team was happy. If OU wins tonight, you're going to be happy, most of you. Right? Yeah, I'm going to be happy. This kind of thing drives business, the economy. It drives politics. And it's surrounded by ego, pride, and this desire for power. And it can be good. Like, I want to be successful, and I want to do well in life. But it doesn't last. Eventually, we get older, and those things don't matter. We retire, we say goodbye to all that stuff. We start looking to other forms of happiness. And so the next level, Aristotle says, is beatitudo. And what this is about is being able to see the good in others and doing good for others. This speaks more perfectly to the true nature of the human person. We are created to love others, to will the good of another. And so today's gospel, Jesus is teaching us about this. Jesus is pointing us toward this sort of happiness, this way of living with others, loving others, serving others, being willing to give our lives even for the sake of another. It speaks to the kind of love we have for family and friends, our spouse, our children, the people we love the most in this life. It can also speak to the desire we have to seek Christ in others and to serve them, particularly in the poor those in need, those who suffer in the world. We want to help them. We want to love them. This is a fulfilling happiness, and it points towards a happiness and the happiness that we truly desire. So this kind of happiness sets us on the path toward what is the fourth level. Aristotle calls it sublime beatitudo, the highest good. The highest good, of course, for us is God. He understood it as something that was out of this world, transcendent, he called it. He had a sense that there was this transcendent other, this transcendent good that we had to strive for outside of ourselves. What we call that is God, a relationship with God, knowing God, who already knows us perfectly. Our souls, our minds, our bodies, all that we are seeks God in everything that is good. In a way, even when you seek the good of a material thing, you're seeking God. Because you want that happiness. But you want a happiness really that is eternal, that endures for eternal life. Our soul was created to seek God, to know God, to live with God for eternity. There have been a lot of blesseds and saints over the last 50, 60 years. But St. John Paul II is one of them, and while he was Pope, he beatified and canonized many, many saints. The same with Benedict XVI, and now the same with Pope Francis. They love to beatify and canonize saints. Why? Because we need them. We need them in the world more than ever. We need their witness. Just today, this very day, this morning, the church beatified a new person for heaven. Blessed Father Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus, is now blessed of the church. Just a couple weeks ago, Blessed Carlo Acutis, a 15-year-old boy from Italy who died in just 2006. I was already a priest. Wow. That wasn't very long ago. He's a blessed and is an amazing saint. And then also, I wanted to talk about this beautiful saint from Italy, Blessed Chiara Bodano, who was beatified in the, I think, mid to late 1990s. She died in that time. She understood this desire for a transcendent happiness, the highest good, a desire for the Heavenly Father, whom she loved so beautifully. Even in the last days of her life, she was confined to a bed, dying from a disease that left her unable to move. She was just had to spend days and hours lying down. And as she was closer and closer to death, she found herself, of course, surrounded by family and loved ones. But she desired Jesus. One of the things she talked about, even on her deathbed, was, I want to be a bride of Jesus. And they actually did put her in a wedding gown before she died and consecrated her life to the Lord. Close to death, she said this, at this point, I have nothing left, but I still have my heart, and with that, I can always love. That is what a saint is. Someone who desires to always love as God loves. A saint yearns for the highest love. St. John Paul II distinguished the soul between what he called the small soul and the great soul. The small soul lives a life focused on self and seems to never be able to find peace, never able to find joy, never able to expand outwards and find happiness that endures for eternal life. But the magna anima, he called it, the great soul, is directed toward in love, the love of others. It's directed outward. It's always seeking God, always ready to expand toward the greatest love, which is God. The great soul is always able to say, I have nothing except love. I have nothing except God. I prefer nothing except God. And so I have everything. A saint is someone who has received this beautiful grace of heaven, who has finally said with every ounce of their being, I prefer nothing but God. And from that truth pours out an abundance of grace upon the church. Through the intercession of that saint, we're able to encounter Jesus and the love that endures. Here is the great lesson of this day, the truth of our Catholic faith. We must seek the highest good. We must seek to expand with the great soul that we have, to prefer nothing but God. We must seek God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.